Last week, I started the year off talking about God's eternal value system. I gave four things. I printed some cards this week. We have some cards. If you'd like to have these four in a little card, raise your hand. Ushers, have y'all got them all? Just start handing them out to anybody that raises their hand. I have this affinity. I don't like to just hand out a bunch of stuff and then I leave and then everybody leaves the service and they're sitting on chairs. I get ticked because I think it costs money to do this. We don't want to waste money. But if you do, we want to give you these four things. I want you to carry them because it's very important. I believe that we understand this in this year. Do any of you have get Will Compton's text in the morning? Sunday morning. Anybody, y'all? Anybody here get Will Compton's texts on Sunday morning on their phone? Do you have your keys in your pocket? Go to my office and get my phone, will you? It's laying on the desk. You know, the testimony we just heard is about God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. I want you to consider that God keeping his promises is the absolute foundation of our trust in his word and in his person. It's the foundation. This that I'm trying to get across today in understanding an internal value system. You know, I don't care what your values are, you need to live your values. It's such an honor for me yesterday to be able to participate in a service of a man that I've known for pretty much since I came to town nearly 40 years ago, who was a man who lived his values. You know, and I can jokingly say, you know, James Burr made it clear to me he was Methodist, not part of what we are, but he lived his values. He made that clear through the years. He'd come to stuff over and says, I love you and I like what you're doing, but I got my church. But this man lived his values and he imparted it to so many things. And I mean, to his grandkids, his children and his grandchildren. It's incredible when we understand the value system with which we live by. God swore an oath to Abraham. God looked at Abram at the time, not Abraham, he was Abram at the time, and he looked at Abram and he said, in your seed, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Do y'all understand God's a blesser? God wants you blessed. To believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, when death occurs, life doesn't cease. All they do is step from an earthly dimension into a heavenly dimension, from being in God's presence in them to them into the presence where the spiritual realm where God is. Their spirit steps in there. And if they believe Jesus, that's the prerequisite for getting there. And God is true to his word. I believe that we don't really understand it when God says, I will keep my promises. When God tells you to do something, then do it. Well, when Kelly was talking here just a moment ago, and I don't remember exactly how she said it, but I knew that after 9 o'clock this morning, I get the text from Will, which I get a message from him every Sunday morning. On the way to church this morning, I called him because I just felt like I needed to pray for him and tell him that. And again, so we prayed for each other. And then at 9:24 is when Kelly says, "If you got time, I got something I want to share." Well, when you know, a praise report, knowing everything she's been through, I knew this got to be good. So I it wouldn't matter. It was better. I can't top that. But she started preaching what Will had just texted me 15 minutes, 20 minutes before she texted me, "Ask something big from God." So my text from Will starts in big capital letters, "Ask God for something big. Nothing too big for God. Please remember, with God, this year, 2020, you can do the impossible. Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Isaiah 7:11 in the Message Bible says, ask for a sign from your God. Ask anything, be extravagant, ask for the moon. That's Will Compton's text. And my sermon, if I don't get past this first point, is I got to turn the ringer off because Jim Dodway or somebody here will call me in the middle of the sermon just to make it ring. God says, I will keep my promise. I will keep my word. Upon this statement of God saying, I will keep my word, and I believe God's wanting us to ask for some impossible things. All of the redemptive history, everything that we have in the history and in the word of God, and every hope that mankind has for the future is because God is a God of His Word. We underestimate that this whole world is in existence because God spoke it in existence. We have light because God said, "Let there be light," and it was. So when God speaks, whatever He says, when God promises you something, whatever He promises, it will come to pass. It will happen. I want to read you a passage from Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and we'll put it on the screen. I'm reading this to you from the Message Bible because I think it's so much easier for you to understand. In Hebrews 6, beginning at verse 13, it says, when God made His promise to Abraham, He backed it to the hilt, putting His own reputation on the line. He said, I promise, this is God talking, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that he had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so that if there is any question, then they'll make good on the promise. The authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee His promises, He gave His word, a rock solid guarantee. God can't break His word, and because His word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to the God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus running ahead of us. He stepped into that heavenly realm, and he's there waiting for us. Now, there's three things you can see here in this passage. God's purpose on this earth is unchangeable. God said to Abram, I'm going to bless you, and your seed is going to be a blessing. Now, we know and we understand, we have good record to believe Jesus is in the lineage of Abraham. And if you are in Christ, listen to me, if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. That's not necessarily part of what I'm saying, but Galatians says if you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I don't think that it's an accident for Martha to do what she did today, because she has enabled and empowered every one of you here to bless somebody with at least $2. You got to start somewhere. Let me tell you something. If you can't give $2 away, you're never going to give $10,000 away. It amazes me how many people says, well, I can't wait till I make big money so I can tithe. If you can't tithe 20 cents on $2, you ain't going to tithe $2,000 on $20,000. You start out where you are. And you, as a born-again child of God, have been blessed so that you can be a blessing. God's purpose is unchangeable. That's what this passage I just read to you from Hebrews says. Secondly, the second thing that I want to tell you is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. God doesn't lie. God can't lie. His very being is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. Jesus is truth. God is truth. So listen to me. To promise something, for God to promise something and not fulfill it is not possible given the constraints of God's very own nature, the very nature of who God is and what he is. He is love, and love always gives. It always blesses. God is a blesser. He'll bless and bless and bless. Look at somebody right now and just say, bless you. The third thing that this passage says to us is, because God doesn't change, because God's word is the same, the promise that we have is steadfast and it's sure. We have a hope that is steadfast. My hope is not in me. My hope is not in you. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. Now listen carefully when we say this. Humanity's inability to embrace reality, the seed of deception and failure in the whole human race, is because we have fallen vulnerable to what has always been the work of the enemy. Do you remember what he said to Eve in the garden? God said, you can eat of any tree, don't eat of this. And the enemy, first thing he came, he says, hath God said? See, I'm quoting, that's why I said hath, King James. Has God said, speak English. If you tell me you never doubt, I'll tell you you're not living in faith. Faith has the opportunity to doubt. This series that I so desperately want to get a part of our lives, the eternal value system, God's eternal value system, the reason we can't have everything God says we can have is because of unbelief. Has God said? If I look at you today and I say you're going to be more blessed this year, you're going to have more healing, you're going to have more health, you're going to have somebody immediately you're going to be dealing with doubt. How's God going to do what you're saying? We are simply not able to enter into the promises of God and to all of God's word because of unbelief. Unbelief, listen, let me give you a definition. Failure to believe that God keeps his word or his promises. Humanity has a real struggle with believing that God will do that. When we doubt God's faithfulness to his promises, we really are attacking the character of God. God says, I will do what I said I will do. I will keep my word. God will keep his promises. And when we doubt that, we are literally, and we speak those doubts, we are attacking the character of his very nature. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? If God promises you something, you can take it to the bank. You can deposit it into your life. You can know that it's going to happen. God will keep his word. Say that with me, would you? God will keep his word. How many of you sometimes struggle knowing if God's talking to you? Does anybody ever struggle knowing God's talking to you? Well, just get this card out and listen to what God's got to say to you. Number one, God wants you to get it. I will keep my word. You need to hear it every day of your life. God's not a liar. God will keep his word. And if you and I are going to be like God, we've got to attempt and try to keep our word. Now, the second thing that God's trying to say to us this year is not only will I keep my word, the second thing that he wants to say to us is I will not encroach on that which is another's. I will not encroach on that which is another's. Now listen carefully to me say this. God made man in his image and in his likeness, and he looked at the man that he made, and he said to the man, I want you to have dominion over the earth. Y'all realize that? He said, you have dominion over the birds, over the earth, over the land, over everything. I want you to have dominion over the earth. I didn't say it, God said it. And he's not going to come down and encroach and do for us what we are supposed to be doing ourselves. Help me, Lord. God, in His sovereignty, delegated a portion of His sovereignty to humanity. He looked at humanity and He said, I want you to have dominion on planet Earth. Listen to me. He won't retract His decision by encroaching on that which He has asked us to do. Told us to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And we sat around and sometimes we get, because we doubt God, we say, well, you know, I prayed for them and they didn't recover. So, God, if you want to heal them, you're going to have to come down and heal them on your own. No, He's not going to come down and heal them on His own. He told you to do something, you got to do what He told you to do. When is the church going to act like they believe God? Let me give you a couple of biblical things of what I'm talking about. When Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God didn't come down and stop them. He told them, now when you do this, you're going to die. You're going to be separated from me. But God didn't come down and stop them from doing it. When Abram chose, God said, I'm going to bless you. And Abram chose to have Ishmael with Hagar. You understand? He chose to do that. God didn't come down and stop him from doing it. He suffered consequences because of what he did, but God didn't just arbitrarily come down and stop him from doing what he did. When Jacob deceived Isaac, God didn't stop him. When David committed adultery and murder, God didn't come down and stop him. You know why? God will not encroach on what He has committed us to do. He allowed the consequences to unfold, but then He offered discipline and redemption. Aren't you glad that even when we goof up, God may discipline us? He disciplines those who He loves, but He also redeems us. I bet it would surprise most of us if we realize that much of the problems we have are problems that we have self-inflicted and that the devil doesn't even know where you are. I mean, it's amazing to me how many people think that the devil knows everything and is everywhere doing everything. And they think God doesn't have any power or authority to keep His word or do anything else. I mean, most churches you go to, they preach a great big devil and a wee little God. I preach a great big devil and a wee little God. Get out of here. Leave me alone. My biggest problem ain't the devil, it's me.
Well, you know, Pastor Farley, the devil made me do that.
No, Flip Wilson taught you that. Wasn't even a preacher. A comedian taught you the devil made you do it. It wasn't the devil. Now, listen to me. God's going to let you do whatever you want to do. Do y'all realize God will let you do whatever you want to do? So if we don't see this clearly, we'll fail to fulfill our human, God-ordained responsibility to embrace life with all of its pressures, with all of its struggles, with all of its functions, with all of its difficulties. We live in a fallen world, and we've got to accept the responsibility that God wants to do something on this planet, but everything that God's going to do on this planet, He's going to do it through His body, with His body. We are His body, and we are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, and everything God's going to do on planet Earth, He's going to do with you and I. Chad and Kelly have been doing everything they know to do to believe. It's hard to believe when you're in the battle and there's a fight going on.
But if you believe,
say, I believe. Look at somebody and say to somebody, I'm a believer. Say, I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer.
I wish we really had a comprehension and an understanding of what freedom God has given us. There's so many people talk about Rhema Christian Center because they look at where we are and what we do and how I conduct myself, and they say, you know, you just believe that people can do anything they want to do. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what the church teaches. People still do anything they want to do. I've seen people in every church. It doesn't matter what it does. It doesn't matter what the preacher believes. You ain't going to stop people from doing what they want. How many of you have kids? And every one of your kids do exactly what you've told them to do without exception, don't they? Huh? Every one of your children, I mean, are perfect. Huh? I love Mommy Valentine. Y'all have to, it's a private joke, you'd have to see that. Kids are great. God loves His kids. How many of you really want your kids blessed and prosperous and healthy and good? Let me see your hands. Why do you think God is any different than you are with your kids?
Well, God is the judge of all things, and one of these days He's got to judge everyone on the planet.
His judgment, listen to me, is always redemptive. It is never punitive.
Well, I just believe that God's a God of wrath.
Believe what you want to believe. God is love, and if you understand that love and what love is and how love functions and how love operates, if you really understood love, you would understand that just like you might discipline your children and do something that they don't want you to do, but your result for the outside of that is that something down the road is better, not worse, for them. God always deals with everything in those terms. Listen to me. The very words redeem and redemption are rooted in order to redeem something, in order to have redemption, there's a price that has to be paid. Do you understand that God so loved the world? He loved the world. I talked about this last week. He loved the world so much that the price that He was willing to pay for the sins of the world was His very own Son who came to redeem you. He knew you would fail. He knew you would fall short, but He has paid a price to redeem you. He may let you walk through your own misery to get you to wake up and realize, but the moment you turn yourself back to God, His whole intent is to redeem you and bring redemption into your life. That's who God is. God wants a relationship with us, but that relationship with us can only be a relationship where we have freedom of choice. When I say God's not going to infringe on you, you've got to understand God is not going to come down and force you and make you and cause you to do His will. He wants you to do His will because you want to do His will. Listen to me. He's not looking for slaves and He's not looking for prisoners. We use terminology like that, but that's not what He's looking for. He's looking for sons and daughters. He's looking for children who are willing to say, I will follow you. you realize God makes offers to his children, not demands? You remember when he was teaching communion, Jesus was teaching communion? And he looked at him and he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part with me. The crowd who had been following Jesus says, this guy's talking about cannibalism. They got up and walked away. The whole multitude left Jesus because he was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. If he was pastoring the average local church, he would have said, oh, I can't say that. If I make them mad, they may not come back. They may not pay their tithes. We can't do that. Well, Jesus did it all the time. Everybody left but the 12. And you know what he said to the 12? You want to go too? Because my word ain't changing. Just because you don't understand doesn't mean I'm going to be any different. God's not going to come down into your life and force you to serve him and cause you to do what he wants you to do if you're not willing to cooperate and work with him. He's not going to encroach. You have a choice. I know my time's gone. I know it's 12 o'clock. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Not a thing. It's 11 o'clock, not 12 o'clock. And if you was at a church that went from normal time, they're still all just now starting church at all the other churches in town. So you can still beat them to the restaurants. I'm not going to keep you long. But I got to get this out. God is inviting us today. His invitation today is ask me for the impossible. Ask me to do whatever it is you would like for me to do. And believe, as he tells you, I'm going to do it. Now, there's so much more I could preach here because we don't really believe God is good. Let me ask you a question. When you discipline your children for something they're doing that would harm them, let me give you an example. If one of your children, my children, was going across the road and a car was coming and they didn't see the car, and all I could do was knock them, just run and throw them out of the way, knock them out of the way. And in my knocking them out of the way, I might have skinned their knee, broke their arm to protect them, to save them. And they got up with a war story. I tell you how my daddy is. My daddy just knocks me around. He broke my arm. He did all that. Is that the truth? What was I trying to do? Save them. Some of the stuff you're blaming God for, he's trying to save your stupid self. I'm done, but I'm going to tell you this story. Y'all remember the illustration of the guy had the 100 sheep and 99 of them stayed there, but one left? You remember that story in the Bible? And what did the good shepherd do? The good shepherd went after the sheep. I've wondered through that because I used to, you know, just let me give you a tell. Y'all got to understand, I was born and bred in church. Went to church my whole life. I went to a Christian college. And I don't mean this mean or bad, but I was a hellion at Christian College. I mean, they told me more than once, go home, don't come back. You don't fit the rules here. I mean, I can tell you story after story. They'd have revivals, and because I didn't come in, you're supposed to be in a certain time, but when they were having revivals, you could stay at the thing all night. I'd be out doing stuff, and I'd come in and go to revival. I'll never forget. Some of you heard me tell the story. I was sitting in the back there one night, and a bunch of these kids come back here and said, won't you pray? And I mean, they talked to me till 4 o'clock in the morning, and I got there at 1:30. 2.5 hours, they were trying to get me to go to the altar to get saved. And I'm thinking, I'm never going to get out of this place if I don't do something to appease these idiots. So I get up and I turn around like I'm going to kneel down at my seat. And when I do, Larry Winters is standing over here and he's going, ha, 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 and points at me. And when I start to kneel down, I start laughing because he's laughing at me. And they think I'm crying. Now, y'all got to get this. I'm from a Pentecostal background. Well, they started going, woo! Yelling and screaming because they thought, man, he's getting the goods. I'm laughing my head off. After about 20 more minutes of them praying and shaking and jarring the fire out of me, I saw an opening, and I'm here like this, and I saw an opening, and I crawl out. Literally crawled out of there. Got out and ran. Now, I'm telling you all that because I want you to understand. When I read the story about the good shepherd going after the lamb, he didn't lead the lamb back to the flock. It says he picked him up and put him on his shoulders. My personal interpretation of that is the shepherd brought him back to the fold, kicking and screaming the whole way. It's my interpretation. I'm not telling you, you got to see it that way. But let me tell you something. Average sheep is 100 pounds. You don't put 100 pound sheep on your shoulders. And it says the shepherd was joyous. He doesn't say anything about the sheep. But it's clear that sheep aren't real smart. But the point I'm trying to get across is simply this. God wants to do great things on this earth. We, His children, inherit all things. Abraham is blessed to be a blessing, and you are blessed as Abraham's seed to be a blessing. But you've got to cooperate with God and His Word. If His Word says, do this, do it. Do you remember? Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. All I can do is what the Father shows me to do. Because He knows if God said it. Every year this church has been in operation. We've operated on the premise of saying, God, if you'll tell us what to do, we'll do it. Whatever it is you want us to do, Lord, we'll do it. The only two things the Lord has spoke to me this year to do is that we're going to work and develop our children's ministries, and I've already see God at work in that. We started that work, and He's going to do great things with our kids because we're going to raise up. We've got a responsibility to raise up a generation that believes that God keeps His word, that believes that God's alive on planet Earth. And that God is working in their life. God works in your life. He works in your family. He works in ways. Again, Kelly said, you don't even see Him working. You're not even sure He is sometimes. But He's at work. The And the second thing he told me that we were going to do is something in the second half of this year, come this year that we're in, with rehabilitation for addiction and all of the stuff that's out there, and I don't have a clue. All the Lord's told me is you're not smart enough to do what needs to be done. You're just going to pastor and help provide what needs to be done. God's going to raise up people who know what to do, how to do it, and the money to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it. Don't have a clue. But if he said it, he'll do it. He's been given us the means to do some things as a body of believers for years. He has provided over and over and over again. But listen to me. Everything on this property is stuff. You are the connection to God, because what he does through you. Somebody this week is going to need to be blessed. I don't know what you do with your $2. I don't know, the Lord may tell you to put 20 with it. He may tell you to put 200 with it. But you better do something with that $2. I'm not looking for any $2 bills in the offering here at Rhema Christian Center. I'm looking at $2 to go into this community and into people's lives who don't deserve it. Let me ask you, do you get everything you get from God because you're so deserving? It amazes me you get against Christian. I tell you, I would bless them down there on the corner, but you know, they just don't deserve it. Well, what do you deserve? I'm glad I don't get what I deserve. But be a blessing. Say this. Say, I will be a blessing. This week, I'm going to bless someone. I have the means to be a blesser. And I will start blessing people. And I'm like God. I'm a man or woman of my word. I will bless. Stand with me, would you? I don't have time to go into all the details, y'all, usher or altar workers, y'all come. I don't have time to go into all the details. But how many of you know when Jesus was here on the earth and walked around, he walked around healing people? Do y'all understand he did that? He healed people. Jesus walked around healing people. Jesus walked around performing miracles. And the church today isn't sure whether he's still doing that or not. But he is. He's blessing people. He's healing people. We're going to start every month having a Sunday evening service doing different things. But one of the things we're going to do is pray for the sick, pray for people. I hesitate saying this because you're going to talk about me, but some of you are going to talk about me anyway. We're going to heal some people. Yeah. He never looked at his disciples and said, "You all go pray for me to heal someone." He looked at his disciples and he said, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you've been given, freely you've received it, now give it away." That's what he said. Let me say this. I didn't get this far in my message. Why do you think God's got to do what he does the way you believe he can do it? Why can't he do it the way he wants to do it and you get on board with him?
Well, I just don't believe God can heal people. I just don't believe God can do that.
Well, aren't you special? All you're doing is voicing your doubt in a God that says, "I keep my word." He hastens his word to perform. I didn't get to it. God's looking for a way to bless you, to help you, to deliver you. So we just got to participate with him. Dear Lord, say this. Dear Lord, I desire to participate with what you're doing on planet Earth. So Lord, I thank you and praise you for your power
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, one more thing I want you all to pray about. One more thing. The Mennonites are here, and I'm grateful and thankful. And I apologize to y'all. We got 52 boys coming in for Habitat this week, going to invade your presence. And I've prayed for God to give you mercy and grace and love and help and joy and peace and all those things. But it's amazing to me that people come from all over the country to come to this community, to bless our community, to help build homes and build stuff and do stuff for people. Do you all know how blessed we are? Do you know how blessed we are to have a facility to provide for that? And so I just thank you. God's got great things. I love you. It's 12:18. Altar's open if you need prayer. If you're visiting with us, thanks for being here. Come back. It may get better. If you don't want to come back, it's probably not going to get any worse.